BBC Radio Solent Sport.
The Non-League Show with Cliff Pledge.
Well, thank you, Chris. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the Non-League Show. I'm Cliff Pledge, and this week, well, we came to find out if Gosport Borough could be the first team to take points off Ebbsfleet, who got a 100% record on their travels. That's our featured game, or one of them. The show this week comes from the Aerial Direct Stadium, Privet Park, Gosport. Also on the programme this evening, we'll find out how Eastleigh got on in their first match since Chris Todd was confirmed as manager. Find out how Weymouth got on as well. They're having a good season. And also, we'll have the draw later in this programme for the Hampshire Senior Cup. But we'll start with a National League South match, which was really anticipated. Gosport starting the day sixth. Ebbsfleet starting it on top. Privet Park, 563 in the Aerial Direct Stadium. Gosport Borough, well, Rowan Vine made a debut, former Portsmouth striker. He's had lots of clubs and he showed a few good touches and had a shot on target in the first half. There weren't too many opportunities. The main talking point came on 28 minutes when Matt Godden gave Ebbsfleet the lead. He looked offside. The Gosport defence stopped to appeal. They didn't put pressure on him. He went through and scored. And then Gosport putting pressure on the linesman. But the decision stood. The goal stood. Ebbsfleet 1-0 up. Early in the second half, Justin Bennett slotting home his 16th of the season from close range, sliding in to stab one home after a mix-up in the defence. But that got Ebbsfleet on the front foot. And within 3 minutes, they had a goal. I think Brett Pope may have misplaced something. And then Nathan Ashmore came out to try and stop Godden in goal. He slided the ball to his left to Danny Kedwell, who tapped home. Gosport 1, Ebbsfleet 2. Then Ebbsfleet were in the ascendancy. Rory Williams cleared one off the line. But late in the game, I suppose the last 10 minutes were all Gosport. They had a chance in the final minute. George Barker showed great control to bring the ball down in the box. He went for a shot and was wide of the near post, when perhaps he should have passed the ball to some of his colleagues to his left. Final score, Gosport 1, Ebbsfleet 2. After the game, I spoke to the manager, Alex Pike.
I think I'm starting to sound like an old record player, Cliff. You know, at, unfortunately, one poor decision by the officials, and then one error at the back has cost us something out of the game this afternoon.
What did you say to the officials? I saw you talking to them before the second half started. I guess everybody feels that was offside, the first goal.
No one feels it was offside. It was offside, and even the official admitted it was offside. He's saying that both players, one was in an offside position, the other one wasn't. He said he came back onto an onside position, but the laws are quite explicit now that if you're on the field and you're affecting the defender's thinking, then you're in offside position. And when the ball comes over the top and there's two to mark, but one has come from an offside position into an onside, the other one's offside, where's he going to go? Of course, it's affected his thinking. And even, you know, I'm still saying that both of them are in offside position and they've got the benefit of that and they've scored a goal from it. And it's extremely disappointing. Don't expect officials at this level to make that type of mistake. But again, it's been made. We're at the end of it, so we have to get on and dust ourselves down. I thought we did that. We got back into the game. We scored a goal. We had a foothold in it. We were creating chances, getting the ball in their box, and then we go and make a mistake at the back, and it's gone and cost us a goal and ultimately anything out of the match, which is extremely disappointing. But in terms of football, in terms of performance, I'm extremely happy. I was extremely happy when I heard the response from the Ebbsfleet players when they were celebrating the way they celebrated when they won the game. You know, this is Gosport Borough. 2-3 years ago, Ebbsfleet wouldn't even heard of Gosport Borough, and now they're celebrating when they've just won the league. So you know, I take that as a compliment, you know, the fact that where Gosport have come, but it doesn't help me. We're in a bad run of form. We've got to change that.
Might the defence have played to the whistle if they, you know, they stopped to appeal? Could they have put pressure on the guy that scored the goal if they tried to stop him?
I think you're taught as a kid, aren't you, to play to the whistle, you know, and that's something that me and my defenders would have a chat to. But when it's blatantly obvious, you know, I can understand the player's reaction. You don't expect an official at this level to make that mistake. It's been made. You know, officials give an honest decision based on what they think they see. You see tonight a match of the day with 38 cameras on them, that they will make mistakes at the highest level. So why shouldn't they make mistakes at this level?
But against the team who are top and haven't dropped any points away, we couldn't really see that the difference, really. That was a good account of yourselves this afternoon.
Yeah, like I said, you know, the celebration, the Ebbsfleet players, when they came into their change room, you know, it shows how far we've come, but it doesn't help. you know, that I'm in here to win football matches, my players are here to win football matches, and we failed to do that, you know, and we've got to have a look at ourselves. We've got a week now in training. We've got a rescheduled game away at Truro now next Saturday, because I didn't want to break after the exit of the FA Cup. So we've got to go there now and hopefully get the 3 points and get ourselves back on track. Yeah, we're more than capable of going on a run at this football club. We're more than capable of challenging for places in the playoff at Christmas time and then beyond, which is what we want. I thought Rowan Vine did extremely well today. You know, it's again, you know, he showed pro movement, the touches to get Bennett in behind people, and the movement he made for Benno's goal was absolutely superb. You know, and that's why we brought him to the club. You know, and you saw today a very tired Ryan that come off after 80 minutes, you know, and I'm sure that another week's training into him, and maybe we get a practice match in on Tuesday, you know, that we're only going to see him get better and better and better, and I'm glad that we got him.
The performance was good today. In general, the last month or so, the results don't suggest the form is as good as earlier in the season. Is that fair?
We're creating chances. We're getting good possession of the football. You know, that there are things that we need to improve, but I'm happy. Like I said, in terms of football, when we're out of possession, I'm happy with our shape. I'm happy with the way that we press the ball. I'm happy with the work rate. It's at this present moment in time, we're just not getting the breaks in front of goal, which you know is going to happen. But when you've got someone like Justin Bennett in your side, you know that again has scored again today. I think that gives him 12 goals out of 12 in the league, plus another 5 in cup games. So you know, 17 goals the lad scored. You know, he's on fire, and that's probably why Evan at Waterlooville put a bid in for him this week.
That's not one you'd ever seriously consider, is it?
Everybody's got a price. You know, like I said, having at Waterlooville, they rated Matt Patterson at 100,000. We rate Benno at 250,000. And if Haven were to pay that type of money, I'd buy a boat and go and sail off into the sunset somewhere.
Well, it's never going to happen, though. But the rivalry, there's been a good rivalry in the last few seasons between you. Did it get a bit silly this week? Was it a bit tit for tat?
It's all about mind games and playing those little games, you know, that I've been accused in the past of being disrespectful, you know, but then all of a sudden people use the same tactics and that's not disrespectful, it's doing the best of their clubs, which I find funny and amusing. I didn't come into this game to make friends of people. I don't want anyone from Avenue Waterville to come over my place for an evening meal, and it's all part and parcel of the game. And you know, I don't want it to turn sour, though. I don't want to see the same relationship that I haven't had with Eastleigh. You know, that I want that rivalry, but I want it to be friendly rivalry. And I certainly don't want to go down the route that Eastleigh and haven't had over those years. And we've got to make sure that it doesn't turn into that. But who's the common denominator?
It'd be sweet for you if you finished above them. That could happen for the first time ever.
I'm not really interested in having. I can't affect having a Waterlooville Football Club. I'm not interested in having a Waterlooville Football Club. All I'm interested in is gospel. And if that was to happen, then obviously we'd be extremely happy. But it's not a target. The target is to finish as hard as we possibly can and get in the playoffs. And if Haven are in the playoffs, I'd love to have them here in a semi-final or a final. You know, that's the type of rivalry we've got. You know, even though it seems that we're having this little tit for tat, I rate Haven Waterlooville. I respect them. I admire them, what they've done over the years. You know, I admire their stadium. I admire some of the players they've got on their management team, you know, and that's what we aspire to. And there's nothing wrong for us to, you know, to admit in that and say we want to be a gospel borough that mimics Haven. There's nothing wrong with that, because they are the biggest club in the area at our level, as far as I'm concerned.
Alex Pike speaking after Gosport Borough's narrow 2-1 defeat here at home to Ebbsfleet United this evening. Haven and Waterlooville went down 2-1 at home to Wealdstone, conceding 19 and 39th minute goals, one of them scored by Jefferson Louis, their former player. Wealdstone were down to 10 men. James Hayter scored a consolation with 2 minutes to go. 6 league games without a win for the Hawks. We've got a big FA Cup tie at home to Cheltenham next Saturday. Basingstoke, they still haven't won in the league. They lost 2-1 at home to Chelmsford. Liam Envermorum scoring a penalty for them this afternoon. Ebbsfleet atop 34 points. Second in the table, Oxford City with 26. 26 points are also Whitehawk, who are third. Then Maidstone and Maidenhead are fourth and fifth respectively. Gosport down to ninth. They are 20 points and are 3 points off the playoffs. Haven and Waterlooville down to 19th. They've got 11 points. They're one place and 1 point above the relegation zone. Basingstoke bottom with 6 points in the table of the Vanarama National League South. Well, I think it's been a great week to be an Eastleigh fan. Free entry in midweek when they beat the leaders Forest Green. Chris Todd, the new manager. The BBC study, which the Price of Football survey also showed, they had the cheapest season ticket in the top five leagues of English football. And add to that, today was Spitfire away day. Five coach loads of fans went up to see how Eastleigh could get on away to second place Cheltenham Town. Ian Wilding was one of the Spitfires.
Well, not many sides will come to Cheltenham and come away with anything this season, but 1-1 was the score. It's a tough old place to go, and it's a well-deserved point for Eastleigh. The way the second half was going, they could have won it, the Spitfires. Cheltenham looked well-organised and difficult to break down in the first half, and they just about deserved to go into the interval 1-0 up after Jack Munns tapped home on 19 minutes. Whatever boss Chris Todd said to his side at half-time, it worked. After a slow-tempoed first 15 minutes in the second, they really started to take control. Ross Lafayette unbelievably scored with his first touch after coming on a sub, just like he did against Forest Green on Tuesday. And after that, it was all Eastleigh. Chance after chance was created, the best falling to Jamie Turley, who somehow headed over from 4 yards. On reflection, a great point for Eastleigh and a great start for Chris Todd as permanent manager as well. It finished Cheltenham 1, Eastleigh 1.
Well, Ian spoke to Chris Todd in our main programme. He also had a chance to speak to the man of the moment, the goal scorer Ross Lafayette.
So, Ross, first of all, the result, 1-1. I mean, a fantastic point. Never an easy place to come, this one.
Yeah, definitely agreed. I thought the boys were outstanding. I thought first half, we set the standard from the last game. We were a little bit slow out of the blocks. But I think to finish the way we finished, I think we were definitely the stronger team. And overall, I think we're... maybe fair, but I think the overall feeling in the dressing room is a bit of disappointment, to be honest, not to get the 3 points.
What was the manager's message at half-time?
I wasn't part of that because I was on the bench, but from what I understand, it was kind of, we need to obviously press higher and continue how we kind of finished the last game. We were in people's faces and we played in their half, and that obviously worked in the second half.
Could make it up though, could you? Two goals again, 3 minutes after coming on as a substitute. You've done that twice in 4 days.
Yeah, I'm starting to get the old super sub tag, which I'd rather not have, to be honest. But listen, as long as we get points on the board, obviously I'm pleased to score. Hopefully I can stake a claim for the next game. But Gaffer knows best, and we trust in Gaffer, so that's it really.
How pleased you've been with the last 7 days, 7 points. Yeah, terrific return.
Yeah, you know, we couldn't ask for more. Like I say, we're disappointed in the end to not come over 9. But if someone said that the teams that we'd be facing, considering all what had gone on beforehand, obviously change of management and where we was, it's credit to Toddy to what he's done, stabilised the ship, and got us playing some good football and picking up results against big teams.
How pleased were you personally to see him awarded the permanent manager's job on Thursday?
Yeah, delighted. I mean, he's a great person in and around the ranks before when he was assistant. And the stuff he's brought to the table was, I think, exactly what we needed as a team. We now have, a better shape and a better understanding of what each individual player is doing. And, you can see that on the pitch. We've come against some strong teams, and credit to the manager again. He's got us playing some good stuff, and the results speak for themselves.
And this little run in form has put you in a decent position. I mean, it's so tight there, isn't it? The top 10 in the table, not that much in it at all.
Yeah, I think definitely we need to be in and around the playoffs come Christmas time. I think if we can now stay within this pack, keep chasing Cheltenham and Forest Green down, it puts us in a strong position towards the back end of the season. So that's where we need to be.
And how are you enjoying your time at Eastleigh now? You've been there for 2 or 3 months since making the move.
Yeah, enjoying it. I think now I'm starting to, obviously the last 3 games got goals and stuff. I'm starting to really bend to the team, and I kind of attributing what I wanted to do. Obviously, I want more minutes, but it's a team game. And I think now the way Toddy's got the team, it's a strong squad, and we're all battling for places. So you can see it in results. So I'm enjoying it. I really am.
And obviously, you've had league two experience at Luton. How much difference is there between the two leagues? Because a lot of clubs have come down from League Two to be in the conference.
Yeah, I mean, unfortunately, I didn't get as many minutes as I would have liked at Luton. But yeah, we played Cheltenham last year. And they were a strong squad then. So it's not that much of a difference, but I think it's obviously a bit more clinical in League Two, the tails on at the end, maybe that goes in, but that's the difference. But I think there's not much really.
That's Ross Lafayette, who scored with his first touch to equalise for Eastleigh today. They drew 1-1 at Cheltenham Town in the National League. Other scores in that division: Aldershot Town 1, Bromley 1, Barrow 1, Welling United 1, Chester 2, Halifax 1. Dover came from behind to beat Macclesfield 2-1. Forest Green, the leaders, nil. Tranmere, 2. Gateshead, 2. Altrincham, 2. Gateshead scoring a stoppage time equaliser. Guiseley got a stoppage time penalty equaliser. They drew 1-1 with Boreham Wood. Kidderminster Harriers, 0. Southport, 1. Lincoln City, 2. Braintree, 0. Torquay United, 1. Grimsby Town, 1. And Woking, 0. Wrexham, 1. Forest Green Rovers, their lead at the top has been cut to a point. They have 35 points. Cheltenham would have gone on top if they'd beaten Eastleigh. They have 1 point behind with 34 points. Then come Dover. They're up to third with 33 points. Grimsby and Tranmere and Bromley have 30 points each in fourth, fifth and sixth position. Eastleigh, they are 10th. They have 28 points and they've got a game in hand on most teams above them. So they're only a win from getting back into the playoff positions. Aldershot, well, they're only a point behind in 12th position in the National League. Well, I think it's about time to go for the draw. Here is the draw for the third round of the Hampshire Senior Cup. Now, it took place yesterday in our studios in Southampton. 16 teams left in the draw, which was conducted by Gary Pratt, the Senior Football Administrator at the Hampshire FA.
Welcome to the third round draw for the Hampshire FA Saturday Senior Cup, sponsored by the BSA Regal Group. In the previous round, defending champions Gosport Borough were booted out of the competition on penalties by AFC Porchester, while AFC Tottenham succumbed to lower-ranked opposition when they were defeated 3-0 by Sydenham's League newcomers AFC Stoneham. Havant-Waterlooville cruised past the young AFC Bournemouth team, while National League sides Aldershot Town and Eastleigh both made it safely through to the third round. Tonight's draw numbers are as follows. Number 1, Lymington Town. 2, Eastleigh. 3, Fleet Town. 4, Basingstoke Town. 5, AFC Stoneham. 6, Tottenham and Ealing. 7, Horndean or East Cowes Vicks. Number 8, Havant-Waterlooville. 9, Aldershot Town. 10, Moneyfields. 11, Sholin. 12, Brockenhurst. 13, Petersfield Town. 14, Blackfield and Langley. 15, AFC Porchester. And finally, number 16, Winchester City. The draw will be conducted by BBC Radio Solent's Adam Blackmore and from our competition sponsors, BSA Regal Group, Dave Diaper. Adam will draw the home balls and Dave the away balls. So, Adam, over to you.
Thank you. Let's go. Okay, let's start. Ball number 14.
Number 14, Blackfield and Langley.
Ball number 4.
And they will face Basingstoke Town from the National League South.
Ball number 5.
Which are AFC Stoneham.
Play number 1.
Will face Lymington Town.
I reckon I'm always more popular, Dave, drawing the home teams out. They're delighted to be there. Ball number 3.
Number 3, Fleet Town.
Will play number 12.
Who are Brockenhurst.
Number 10.
Number 10, Moneyfields. And at Dover Road, they will face...
Number 11.
Sholing.
If you could see his face. Ball number 13.
Number 13, Petersfield Town.
We'll play number 8.
In a nice local derby against Havant and Waterlooville.
Number 9.
Number 9, Aldershot Town.
We'll play number 15.
We'll face AFC Porchester.
There we go. Next one out is number 6.
Number 6, Tottenham and Ealing.
We'll play number 7.
We'll face the winners of Horndean or East Cowes Vicks.
And there aren't many left. Number 16.
Number 16 of Winchester City.
We'll play number 2.
Thankfully, we'll play Eastleigh. That concludes the draw for the third round of the Hampshire FA Saturday Senior Cup, sponsored by the BSA Regal Group, with all ties commencing the week of the 7th of December.
Thank you, Gary. Just finally then, Dave, had a little look at those ties. What do you think? Anything stick out for you from Gary's list there? Apart from your own, obviously.
Yeah, I mean, Eastleigh in Winchester City, that looks quite a tie. And also, really, Petersfield in Havant. I mean, that looks quite a tasty tie to go and watch. I might go and watch that one myself.
Yeah. Oh, and you obviously didn't get a home tie, so I didn't do you any favours whatsoever.
No, I've done it again. Every time I do this draw, it's always a toughie, but I'm pretty good at doing things like that.
Yeah, well done. Thank you, Dave Diaper, of course, and to Gary. We look forward to the next round after this.
The first Southampton Football Club Fans Forum for 6 years will take place live on BBC Radio Solent.
You can really feel we're here to do business.
500 Saints supporters in the Mick Shannon suite will be able to fire questions at Chairman Ralph Kruger.
Wonderful that we have a full St Mary's tonight.
Football Director Les Reed.
We actually got three players in before anybody went out.
And Manager Ronald Koeman.
That belief we need to have and to get a good result.
Join me, Adam Blackmore, Monday night for the Saints Fans Forum from 7 o'clock on 96.1 FM, 103.8 FM and online.
Tweet your questions to @SolentSport. So there we have it. The draw for the last 16 of the Hampshire Senior Cup. Talking cup draws, they made the draw this week for the next round of the Southern League Cup. Weymouth will take on Poole and Winchester will go to the winner of this Tuesday's match, AFC Totten against Bashley. It's also this evening the Southampton Senior Cup draw, the SDFA. I would like me to tell you that if you have a look at their Facebook group page, you'll find full details on there. Well, it's an exciting season for our three Dorset sides in the Southern League Premier Division. Poole, Dorchester and Weymouth all having a very good start to the season. Weymouth, 7 games unbeaten and unbeaten at home in all competitions, took on Biggleswade this afternoon. 537 were at the Bob Lucas Stadium, including our reporter, Jordan Clark.
Jason, frustrating, I think, afternoon for yourself and the team. How do you pick it apart?
Yeah, frustrating and disappointing, I think, is the two biggest words that you can use. Probably one of my worst performances there, being in charge at home today. Felt that we never got going at any point, and a really frustrating day at the office, and it's hard to put your finger on it after a really good unbeaten run. Let the boys know my disappointment today, and I didn't think we got going at any point in the game.
You say that it's hard to put your finger on it, but has anyone come up with any ideas why it just didn't click into place this afternoon?
Yeah, I think that we try to play a passing game. I think in the first minute it summed it up, probably 4 or 5 high balls, and certainly a game I want to forget very quickly.
How frustrating or disappointing in the manner of the goal as well that Biggleswade scored, given that you've been so solid at the back this season?
Yeah, it was disappointing. From my own personal point of view, it is a good finish. But we made a mistake last week as well for the goal, and us two mistakes have been punished. And on the whole, we've been really excellent at the back. So it's harsh sometimes, but we didn't do enough going forward today, and we've been punished by a mistake as well.
You didn't do enough, you say, but there were a few chances, but again, just like that clinical edge. Is that a fair assessment?
I think that's fair to say that. Obviously we did have a couple of chances, like you say, but we haven't taken them. If you take those chances early on in the game, it makes for a different game. You know, the away team has to come out and try and get something rather than sitting in. Today, like I said, it didn't happen. And we've had to work very hard for our wins at home, and we have done. And I felt that today was the first time we haven't really created clear-cut chances, and that's really disappointing today. And like you said, we probably did miss a couple of our more creative players, but I'm not making that as an excuse. You know, like I said, I've got a good squad, and we need to go back to the drawing board. And a little bit frustrating. I felt we was a little bit narrow first half, I'll look to probably change it slightly on Tuesday with a really tough game at Chippenham.
When you look at the table, we've had such a solid start, but I think when you look a bit closer, it's fair to say that the goals didn't come today, that you've been struggling to score for large parts of the season. Jace, is it a big concern the goals aren't coming, and the fact this cost you today and it could cost you again going forward, obviously?
If you'd have asked me before today, I would have said that it didn't concern me, because we've created really good chances and not taken them. Today, a little bit more worried that we didn't create enough chances for my liking, and that's frustrating. And like I said, we do a lot of work on shooting and stuff like that. And like I said, today we didn't get going, and that's the bigger picture for me. We didn't get going. We didn't find our passes. We got no movement going, and really frustrating. But like, a big thing for me is I felt we did. A majority of the side lacked a little bit of desire today, and they could have no complaints if they're left out on Tuesday night.
If it doesn't change up front for you going forward, what can you do as a manager? You mentioned there you work a lot on shooting and things like that, you obviously, you can only make so many changes within the squad. You have to go and look for new personnel.
Yeah, I'd have to go and look for personnel. I'm always going out watching games, and that, and you know, I would have to tweak my squad then, which would be really frustrating, because the group of lads that I got, I feel are good enough. And like I said, to get another striker, I would have to tweak it from within, like what budget I've got.
You have got a chance, as you said, to put it right on Tuesday night. There may well be changes from the sounds of it, but how tough a game as well. Don't get any easier, chipping them away.
Yeah, I would say that's probably the toughest place to go in the league, to be honest with you. Even with Chippenham, when in previous seasons, when they haven't been going so well, it's a sloping pitch and really difficult, and Chippenham make it really difficult. And fair play to Martin, their manager. He's got them playing some good football this year. You know, I see they've drawn today. So it just goes to show how tough the league is.
That's Jason Matthews, player manager of Weymouth, speaking after they lost 1-0 at home to Biggleswade Town today, speaking with our reporter Jordan Clark. They're off to Chippenham on Tuesday. Dorchester are at home to Poole Town in a Dorset derby on Tuesday night. Terrace fans, if you go to our Solent Sport Twitter, you'll also be able to hear an interview with Captain Stuart Yetton about today's game, and also on our Twitter feed you'll also find that Hampshire Senior Cup draw replayed in full if you missed it earlier on. Poole Town up to second in the table. 3-0 winners over Cirencester, 358 at Tattenham. Two goals from Steve Devlin, one a free kick, and Luke Holmes also on target. Six wins in a row before today, so that's now seven in a row for Tom Killick's men, 10 games unbeaten. Dorchester Town, they lost 1-0 at St Neots today. On Wednesday at 6:45, there's a meeting for co-owners of Dorchester. Mark Germain, the player manager, is in attendance with answering questions, and a couple of players this week signing for Dorchester, and one of them making their debut today. The game of the day in that division, Kettering Town 5, Histon 4, and Leamington, the leaders, winning 1-0 at Kings Lynn Town. They've got 31 points. Poole are second with 30 points. Then come Chippenham and Weymouth with 26 points in third and fourth position. Dorchester are seventh, 22 points, 1 point and 2 places off of fifth place, which is held by Redditch. Poole and Dorchester do have games in hand. In the Southern League, in the Central Division today, Petersfield Town had a welcome win, moving them off the bottom of the table. 2-0 over St Ives, Joe Briggs and Lewis Hyde on target. They'd lost four home games in a row in the league, but they obviously put an end to that today. Well done to the Rams. Fleet Town losing 4-0 at Royston Town. In the Southern League, South and West Division, Bashley lost 1-0 at home to Shortwood United. Wimborne, they drew 2-2 at Bishop's Cleeve. Carl Preston and Holmes gave them the lead twice in that game. They led twice but conceded a last-minute penalty. AFC Totten lost 3-0 at Slimbridge Town. And it's Jack Alexander who played today for Totten, who signed from dual registration from Eastleigh, not Dorchester, what I said earlier on. Winchester 4, Banbury 0. Jamie Barron and Warren Bentley getting 2 goals each. 192 at the City Ground, 24th goal of the season for Warren Bentley. In the Wessex Football League, Bemerton Heath 1, Cowes 5, Horndean 4, Andover 1, Lymington 1, Verwood 1, Newport 2, Fawley 1, Whitchurch 0, Salisbury 4. In League Division 2, Alton 2, Downton 2, Amesbury 3, Hive and Dibden 1, Christchurch 4, Stoneham 1, Laverstock and Ford 4, Ringwood 1, New Milton 1, Andover New Street 1, Romsey 1, Fleet Spurs 1, Totten and Ealing 0, Tadley, Caliva 3. In the League Cup of the Wessex League, Portchester 2, Fareham 3, Brady Norton scoring twice in the Cross Creek Derby, Alsford 8, East Cowes 1, Blackfield and Langley 0, Team Solent 1, Hamworthy 0, United Services Portsmouth 2, Pewsey Vale 2, Brockenhurst 2 played extra time there, Bournemouth 1, Moneyfields 1 played extra time there, Sholing 2, Fallen Sports 0. The referee rolled his ankle there, went to hospital, so get well soon. Bruce Waymark from Netley Abbey. Wonder if we've got time for any more scores, Kane Reeves.
We have indeed, Cliff. In the Hampshire Premier League, it finished Headley United 0, Otterbourne 3, Loxheath 2, Stockbridge 2, Netley Central Sports 2, Hedge End Rangers 1, Overton United 1, Bush Hill 4, Paulsgrove 3, Coldingham Common 0, Upham 2, QK Southampton 5 and Winchester Castle 1, Liss Athletic 2.
And in those Wessex League Cup guys that went to extra time ties, Brockenhurst and Moneyfields won through on penalties. Thanks for everyone at Gosport Borough for looking after me. Thanks for all our reporters. Kane in the studio. I'm Cliff Pledge. This is the Non-League Show. Coming up next, Stereo Underground with Richard Latto. Thanks for joining us this evening on BBC Radio Solent.
With Richard Latto, BBC Radio Solent.